We've been in a brief series called Real Christianity, and this morning we're going to wrap up that series. But, you know, as followers of Jesus Christ, real Christianity requires a real transformation in our life. We can't be the same old person. We can't do the same old things and be a real Christian. Amen. We are a new creation in Christ. Real Christianity requires real community. Contrary to a lot of the attitude in culture today and even religious culture, we can't just do it all on our own. No, He designed us to be a part of a body. He designed us for community. We need that in our life. And real Christianity requires real purpose in our lives. An insurance agent was asking an old cowboy about his medical history, and he asked him if he had had any accidents, and the old cowboy said, well, no. And the agent was kind of confused by this because of his medical history. And he said, well, how do you get all these past injuries? And he said, well, I was kicked by a horse. I was bit by a rattlesnake. I was horned by a bull. And there was that time that Thelma hit me with the frying pan and gave me a concussion. He said, but weren't none of them accidents? They all did it on purpose, right? I want you to know there are no accidents with the Lord. Really, there are no accidents with the Lord. Everything that He has ever done, He did on purpose. He did for a purpose. That means that He has a purpose for every single one of us. Simply put, He made you on purpose for a purpose. And real Christianity isn't just about living out our days and someday we're going to go to heaven. No, real Christianity is about us fulfilling the purpose of God in our lives. There's a reason that we are here. We want to fulfill that purpose. Acts chapter 13 and verse 36 in the NIV, it says, for when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. And you know, that's the way it's supposed to be. We serve God's purpose, and when we're done with that, we're done. But we are supposed to serve God's purpose each and every day in our life. I mean, David is this great man in the Bible, a great leader, a great king, great warrior, great worshiper. But we all know that David was full of faults and flaws and made horrible mistakes. But he fulfilled God's purpose. And I just want you to know, you can fulfill God's purpose. He's given you a purpose, and you can fulfill that purpose. We were created for purpose. This is really important because purpose is something that's missing in a lot of people's lives today. They don't know who they are or why they're here or where they're going. I mean, we need to know we're not just here by an accident. I mean, those that don't believe in God, well, they think that, you know, it was all just quite the accident that some molecules kind of came together and before you know it, there was some life and, you know, eventually you just kind of showed up and you came from nowhere and you're going nowhere. And you have no real purpose in this world. We know better than that. As a child of God, as a believer, we know that our God, He's the one that created us. Not just Adam and Eve, every single one of us. It is God that gives us life. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Did you know that God formed you in the womb? And did you know that before that, He knew you? A lot of people's opinion and idea, concept of God is just way too small. He knew you before you were ever even formed in the womb. And he says to Jeremiah, he says, before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, you might not be a prophet to the nations, but you need to know this, that the one who knew you and formed you, He has a purpose for you also. Whatever that might be, Yeah, you might not be prophet to the nations, but there's some reason that God created you, that he formed you, and you need to know what that purpose is. You need to live that purpose out in your life. I believe the Lord designed every single one of us with some kind of purpose to fulfill in our lives, not just to live out our days. Yet it seems like so many people settle for that. Even a lot of Christians don't seem to know that they have real purpose. But without real purpose, you know what we're saying is, well, life doesn't really have meaning. I can assure you, God has a purpose for you. But without that, we end up just being a part of the rat race of life, going around in circles. We need purpose. And he designed us. I really believe this. He designed us in such a way that without that sense of purpose, we lack real fulfillment in our life. You see, when we aren't doing what we were created to do, there's a satisfaction, a fulfillment that's missing in our life. We need that purpose. We need to fulfill that purpose. In Jeremiah 29:11, in the NIV, this verse is super popular in our day and time, but I want you to just consider something. Listen, he says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. He has plans for you. Can we all agree on that? Listen, if he has a plan for you, you see, there's an implied purpose there. There's a reason for you. He's got plans for you. And we need to understand this. We need to know this. God has plans. You see, he has a purpose for every single one of us. Now, in the King James Version, he says, the thoughts that I think towards you. And it's the same thing. Listen, if God thinks a thought, it's a plan. His mind doesn't wander off and daydream like ours does. You know what I'm saying? What he thinks, his thoughts are plans. But he says, the thoughts I think toward you. Listen, do you realize God's been thinking about you? You see, you might feel insignificant. You might think that you don't really matter. God thinks differently. He's been thinking about you. It reminds me of that old song, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. But not just when he was on the cross. We're on his mind right now. He's got plans for us, and we need to know that. Some people, they just don't think they have anything to offer. They don't realize that they matter. Ephesians 2:10, I talked about this verse not very long ago on a Wednesday night, but I tell you, we just got to hear this today. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But hear this now. We are his workmanship. His workmanship. It is speaking of a masterpiece. It is something that God has created, something that he has made. You know, you think of the best craftsman, the most famous artist. I want you to know our God is better than that. And he has created each and every one of us. He calls us his workmanship. We are his workmanship. See, you need to know, you're a one-of-a-kind creation. You're valuable to God. You know, sometimes people are envious of other people. You know, they wish that they could have been like this person or that person. Come on, we've probably all been there at some point, right? I mean, you see this person that's so talented, or this person that's so athletic, or, you know, this person that's 6'2 or 3, you know what I'm saying? One time I was at the gym, and this guy says to me, he says, look at you, 60-something years old, you got a full head of hair. What's up with that? You know, he'd get a little bald. I told him, I said, man, I'll trade you some hair for a couple of inches. How about that? You know, he's like 6'3 or 4, I don't know. But you know, a lot of times we're envious of other people or what other people can do, their abilities and their gifts. But you need to understand that God created you for a purpose. There are specific things that God created you to do. So don't allow Satan to devalue you. You know, we say to the Lord, why? It's straight from Scripture. To the potter, you know, why have you made me thus, Lord? Why do you make me like this? You see, when we fulfill the purpose of God, it all comes together. God knows what he's doing. True story. You know, sometimes preachers tell stories and they don't really know if they're true. Some of them are and some of them aren't. This is a true story. It's recorded in the Los Angeles Times and reported on May 18th, 2004. True story. A 320-year-old Stradivarius cello worth $3.5 million went missing for 3 weeks. Well, it was eventually returned to the Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra. But you see, what happened is that the person who had that instrument had taken it home with them. And when they got to the door of their house, evidently, they set it down on the front porch and went in the house and forgot it. And it was stolen. 3 weeks later, a 29-year-old nurse saw this case with the cello in it sitting by a dumpster. And she picked it up and she took it home. It was damaged, but she thought, you know, my cabinet maker boyfriend, he might be able to fix it. Or, you know what? It would make a great CD case. She wanted to have the face of it taken off and put some hinges on it, and it would just make a really cool CD case, a one of a kind. Then she saw this cello missing. She saw the report on the news. So she turned it in. $3.5 million cello. Side note, there was a $50,000 reward, although she said she didn't know about that, right? It had been damaged, but there was a man there that knew how to restore it. And he said it was going to take some time, but it would be restored. By the way, I didn't tell you. We're talking about a cello that was made in the 1600s. Wow. But anyway, he's going to restore it. They said, did you know that she was planning on turning it into a CD case? He said, it makes me sick. There's a point to this story. You see, God has a purpose for each and every one of us. You're his masterpiece. You are unique and special to God. There is an intended purpose for your life. And when we fulfill that purpose, you know, it's like an instrument in the orchestra. It has a place and it fills the air with music. You see, when we fulfill our purpose, we're a part of what God is doing in the earth. It all works together. But this old world will try to devalue you and make a CD case out of you. You're made for more than that. You are something special to God. Do not allow yourself to be devalued to the point that you're just living out your days. No big deal. No, God has a special purpose for your life. Is one of the saddest things that most people waste too much of their life instead of fulfilling the purpose of God. Things that are just unimportant. Back to our key verse here, Ephesians 2:10, he says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We were created for good works. And you need to understand this. Those good works, it's all about people. God's purpose in your life is all about people. When this old world melts with fervent heat and it is gone, there's only one thing that's going to survive: people. That's it. That's all that's here on planet Earth that our Father is interested in, is people. And our real purpose in life, it all has to do with people in some way. We need to know that. But we were created for good works. This is such an amazing thing that not only are we his workmanship, but that he prepared in advance. Again, in the foreknowledge of God, he prepared in advance good works for us to do. You see, he designed you for a purpose. And there are good works that he intends for you to do. How amazing. But we got to do what the Creator created us for. And he created us for good works. It's all about people. Sometimes it might be that you're talking to somebody about the Lord. It might be that you're helping somebody in his name, that you're praying for other people, that you're serving in some ministry at the church, that you're helping with the small group, teaching children. It can be even in our giving. It's using your talents, your gifts for the kingdom of God. See, there's really thousands of ways that you can participate in what God is doing in the earth and be fulfilling his purpose in your life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9, Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants or he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants, the man who waters have one purpose. They have a purpose. You see, whatever we do for God, there is a purpose behind it. And it's all about people. He says, and each one will be rewarded according to his labor, for we are God's fellow workers. One plants and one waters. What's he talking about here? He's talking about the ministry. And each one of us, you see, there's times when we are a part of that equation that we're doing something for God, that we're being used of God in some way, and we all have a reward. It's God that does the miracle part. It's God that changes the lives. But we have a purpose, you see, in the midst of that. We all, whatever we do, we should have ultimately, he says, they have one purpose. What is it? It is to see that harvest. It is to see lives changed. And God is the one that does that part, but we have to do our part. We have a purpose to fulfill. How do we find real purpose? You know, not everybody is like the Apostle Paul. I mean, the Apostle Paul is on the road to Damascus, and there's a great light, and then God speaks to him from heaven. I mean, you know, wouldn't it be nice if God would just do something like that and tell you exactly what your purpose is and what you're supposed to do? And that doesn't happen for most of us. But I want you to understand this morning that it's really not that complicated to pursue God's purpose in our life. The first thing I've already told you, we need to know it's all about people. And next, we need to do the will of God. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You see, we are no longer just living for ourself. No, we deny ourself. Real popular preaching, right? We take up our cross every day. Every day we take up our cross. What does that mean? Listen, it's not talking about you going out and getting you an actual literal cross and carrying it around. That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about you getting up on a cross and being put to death. What's it talking about? Listen, for Jesus, in the plan and purpose, the will of the Father, it was for him to go to the cross. And we need to understand that when we take up the cross every day, not some days or Sunday, but every day we take up the cross, we are taking up the plan, the purpose, the will of God in our life. You see, if we're going to fulfill that purpose in our life, we got to deny ourselves. We're not in this just doing what we want. No, we are seeking to do what the Father wants every day. And if you want to fulfill your purpose, you need to understand this. You're going to have to lay aside your will, your wants, and choose to do what he wants. Sometimes people plan on doing something for God someday. And you know, that's a good thing. But I just want to remind you that he says daily. You see, what does God want to do today? We got to be faithful in the little things, and then we'll be trusted with much. How do you find real purpose? I tell you, we need to have this attitude, this mentality, that we are pursuing God's purpose in our life every day, every day. You know, sometimes the Lord will show us part of our future. I mean, it can happen. He did it with many in the scriptures, like Joseph when he gave him those dreams. But like Joseph, a lot of the time, even if the Lord did that, we wouldn't understand it. But we need to get this, that God will show us step by step as we pursue his purpose in our life. The Apostle Paul is such a great example of someone who pursued the purpose of God in his life. We can't just kind of stumble through life. We can't just live by default. You know, just whatever. No, we have to decide that we are pursuing the purpose of God. Here's what he says in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. I want to tell you, purpose is implied here. Jesus took hold of Paul. Jesus took hold of us for a reason. And Paul says, I press on to take hold of that. I'm pursuing after that purpose. Why has he taken hold of me? That's what I want. I want to take hold of the purpose of why he has taken hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The upward call of God. There is a call of God that brings us to purpose. And he says, I press toward. I'm reaching forward. You see, and that's what it takes. If we really want to fulfill the purpose of God, it doesn't just come and, you know, fall on us while we're sitting in the recliner watching TV. No, we got to go after it. We got to be pursuing the purpose of God in our life. And when we do that, you see, then that passion keeps us focused on the right things, because all too often we end up just living out our days and just going through, you know, the motions. And we end up with this mundane life. We need that passion to fulfill God's purpose. It helps us avoid the distractions. I mean, sometimes, you know, we get distracted with good things, fun things, urgent things. But none of those is worth giving up our purpose. Paul was just consumed with his purpose. In Acts 20 and 24, he said, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. He speaks of a race. He speaks of a task that God has given to him. He's saying, there is a purpose in my life that I've got to fulfill. In fact, he says, it's so important to me, even if it costs me my life. It's more valuable to me than my life. The purpose of God, more valuable to me than my life. Where did he get this kind of attitude? How about from Jesus? Because Jesus says, If you want to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. That's where the real life is. You see, Jesus wants us to enjoy an abundant life. But an abundant life isn't just about you getting whatever you want in life. An abundant life is when we are willing to lay our life down and pursue after His purpose in our life. And when we do that, I want to tell you, abundant life will find you. It will happen in your life. We need to understand, you see, that abundant life, I just don't think that it's found by lukewarm, casual Christians. It's found by those who are really pursuing after God's purpose in their life. You know, we need to remember this, that it is something beyond ourselves. It happens as we touch the lives of others. Its real purpose isn't about making a lot of money. If it was, I mean, I'm going to tell you, there's some billionaires that would be super happy. But it doesn't work that way. Now, God might use that money. You know, you might make a lot of money and help spread the gospel, and that's a purpose. But you see, it's always what God wants, and it's always about people. It's a great example. Anybody ever heard of Kraft cheese? Two of you. Good grief. Y'all just buy members, Mark, don't you? Anyway, whatever. Kraft cheese used to be a big deal, big name brand. But here's something that a lot of people don't know about Kraft cheese. You see, J.L. Kraft, for many, many years, he gave 25% of his profits to the cause of Christ, to spread the gospel. 25%. That's a whole lot of money. Can you imagine if some of the ultra rich in this generation now would get that same mentality, give 25% of their money to the spread of the gospel? But see, J.L. Kraft wasn't about the cause of cheese. He was about the cause of Christ. And what he did in his life, he understood that it was for a higher purpose than just to make a lot of money. I want you to know, not all of us is called to the mission field. You need to know that for most of us, we can find real purpose right here, right now, in our everyday life. You see, part of the problem is that people don't realize. They think all out there somewhere, maybe someday, if everything, you know, if everything falls into place. No. Right where you are, who you are. If you're a born-again child of God, there is a purpose in your life right now. There are opportunities for you to fulfill the purpose of God. Maybe part of your real purpose is to raise godly children. Don't ever allow that to be belittled in your mind. What a high calling, what an amazing opportunity to impact a life for eternity. And who knows what lives might be changed, impacted for eternity through that child. Grandparents, what if you were to find out that your real purpose in life is not to spoil your grandkids, but instead to teach them to know the Lord and to follow the Savior and fulfill the purpose of God in their life. Amen. You see, it's that purpose. You don't have to look very far if you're really pursuing God's purpose. You'll find it. I mean, it's all around us. Maybe your purpose is found in leading others into the presence of God, like our worship team. Maybe your purpose is found in helping with a small group in some way. There's just a thousand ways that you can fulfill God's purpose. But never lose sight of this. It is always, ultimately, it is always about people. Maybe there's a young person here this morning and God wants you to become a doctor so you can help people, or an attorney so you can defend the weak and those that have endured injustice. See, maybe as a Christian mechanic, you're going to help people with their car problems. There's just a lot of different ways. You see, whatever our job is, whatever our work is, not just for preachers, but for everybody, there's ways that God can use us in His purpose and plan. And we need to look for that. We need to believe for that and expect that. But it can't just be our agenda. It always has to be God's agenda and what He wants us to do. You know, when you look at the great men and women of God in the Scripture, you see this very clearly, that their purpose always involved people. I mean, God had a purpose for Moses to bring God's people out of Egypt. He had a purpose for Joshua then to lead the people of God into possess the promised land. He had a purpose for Nehemiah. Nehemiah went to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, but it wasn't about the walls. It was about the restoration of God's people. That's why he went. That's why he wept. It wasn't about stones. It was about people. It was without those walls, the city had no peace. I'm just telling you that all of these great men and women in the Scripture, how about Esther? Why was she willing to put her life on the line and say, if I perish, I perish? Because of her people. God used her. You know, her uncle Mordecai told her, if you don't do it, God will raise somebody else up. But she was the one that was willing to fulfill God's purpose in her life and be used of God that way. Why? Because of the people. It's always about people. And we may not be superstars, you know, like some, but we need to know that we matter to the lives that we touch. And everybody has opportunity to make a difference in the lives of others. Might be in the workplace, might be when you're at the bank one day, or you're at a restaurant, or might be when you're at the ballpark, but we all have those opportunities to minister to others, to help others, to be used of God. We talked about David briefly earlier. David, when he passed from this life, it fell to his son Solomon to be king over Israel. And the Lord spoke to Solomon. He appeared to him. I want to read it. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 1, beginning in verse 7. It says, on that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said to God, you have shown great mercy to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David, my father, be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours? I want you to understand that Solomon knew the gravity of the responsibility that was upon him. He recognized this great purpose that God had put upon him to lead God's people, and he takes this opportunity that God has given him to ask for wisdom and knowledge to be able to fulfill that purpose in his life. God said to him, because this was in your heart and you have not asked for riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. Nobody before or after had riches, wealth, and honor like Solomon. In 2 Chronicles 1:15, it says, also the king made silver and gold as common in Jerusalem as stones. Can you imagine? Silver and gold were as common in Jerusalem as stones. That's crazy. You talk about wealth. You talk about abundant prosperity. Silver and gold were like rocks, as abundant as stones. He's one of the greatest men that ever lived. He had it all. And he did it all. I mean, this is Solomon that also built the temple. And such wisdom he had. See, a lot of people think that in the Old Testament, people were kind of stupid. You just need to read the whole Bible. People get the wrong impression about a lot of things when they don't. 1 Kings 8:27, he says, behold, heaven and the heavens and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built? Solomon knew what we know now, that God doesn't just live in a building. There's no building that can contain him. He said, even the heaven of heavens can't contain you. He had true wisdom. And yet somehow, he lost his purpose. It all became about him. There came a time when it was no longer about the Lord and about God's people, but it was about what Solomon wanted. And he was left empty. Ecclesiastes 2, 4 through 11. I'm going to read from the NIV. It just reads easier. It says, this is Solomon. He says, I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women, singers and a harem, as well as the delights of the hearts of man. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. And all this wisdom, in all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I want to tell you, God's purpose is not just in worldly accomplishments or achievements. He says, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. He had it all. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Now, if you know the story of Solomon, you know that he also had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He had everything, everything that his heart could desire. But at the end of his life, his heart turned away from the Lord. And he found it all to be absolutely meaningless, a chasing after the wind. It was worthless and empty. And I want to tell you that there are a whole lot of people that think they're really doing something in this world, but there's going to come a day when they realize it was all worthless. I'm telling you, the purpose of God in your life, yes, it may be big. It may be fantastic. It may be world-renowned. But you got to understand this. It is always about people. Because all of that stuff, we see the rich and famous. We see the movie star and the athlete. There's nothing wrong with that. But I just want to tell you, without the purpose of God in their life, it'll all turn up empty, just like it did for Solomon. And you may not ever be famous. You may not ever achieve some great thing. But I want you to know that you fulfill what God has for you. You see, our Lord Jesus, he says, John 17:4, he prays, he says to the Father, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And that's all that is asked of us, that we glorify God by doing the work that he has given us to do. And that work for Jesus and for us, ultimately, is always about people. We need to know there's a work for us to do. Be convinced that God has a purpose for your life. And it matters. That purpose matters in eternity. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.